I have noticed pretty much every time you mention child actors, you hear about drug use.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about all kinds of fucked up sexual abuse. You hear about all kinds of fucked up, like, that parents try to take the money.
Yeah.
Like Macaulay Culkin's.
Financial abuse.
All that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about Macaulay Culkin's.
That's a crazy story right there. I tell you what, I heard a lot about it.
Hello. Welcome back to the podcast titled
Shit They Don't Tell You About Podcasts.
No, it's not about podcasts.
And my name is Steve Green, and I would like to introduce my co-host, Nikki Limo Green.
Hi, I'm Nikki Limo Green.
And today we have a very special episode that Nikki's actually hosting for us.
Yeah,
today,
which I thought was very, so you should let me host
I thought that was very, very good and interesting.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm glad you give them a preface. It's like you wrote in the beginning of the book, the little foreword. It's like you gave me a foreword.
I'm passing on the baton.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that, co-host Steve Green. So, yeah, today I wanted to talk about some shit they don't tell you about child actors and the lives of these poor, tragic childhood actors.
You're talking, of course, about children who are also professional actors.
Yes, that would be the definition
of. Well, not people who just act like
actors.
Children.
No.
Okay, just wanted to clarify.
People like you.
Just before I hand the baton off, just wanted to clarify that. Pretty key detail
there.
Thank
you. Appreciate it.
So a lot of people aren't confused.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk about certain individuals, just like kind of talk about what happened to them because they were huge child stars. And then as adults, not so much. And it's like, what happened? That's always interesting to people. Right? Like, what happened? Why were they so big and so interesting and everybody was obsessed with them and then nothing?
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of sad. I mean, it's very sad, but most of the time it's like, oh, well, like maybe they were really cute kids and then they not so cute teenagers. And so the world was like, yeah, bye.
That's what people think, right?
Yeah.
But I have noticed pretty much every time you mention child actors, you hear about drug use.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about all kinds
sexual
of fucked up sexual abuse. You hear about all kinds of fucked up, like, that parents try to take the money.
Yeah.
Like Macaulay Culkin's.
Financial abuse.
All that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about
Macaulay Culkin's. That's a crazy story right there. I tell you what, I heard a lot about it.
Well, we're going to hear a lot about it in a bit. So just like, let's not jump the gun. So I'm going to start off kind of in a timeline order because back in the day, way back in the day, it was real bad. Like, people just got away with so much more shit. There weren't unions protecting actors. So child actors like Shirley Temple had like it's so bad of a time. So like insane that you can't even believe that was just accepted as normal. Right. And there's a lot of stuff that happens today that you wouldn't believe is accepted as normal. But I feel like they do a better job hiding it.
What happened to Shirley Temple?
Okay. So Shirley Temple... she got her start. Everyone knows Shirley Temple. I was gonna go into like who she was, but you guys know who Shirley Temple is,
yeah,
right?
Fuck yeah.
She tap danced, she sang, she captured the heart of America, actually the heart of the world. She captured a lot of countries' hearts.
Oh, gee whiz. Like a lot of that stuff.
Is that your Shirley Temple impression?
Yeah.
On the good ship.
Is that your Shirley Temple impression?
Yeah, that is.
Wow.
And it's mastered, so I stand by mine. I don't want any critiques.
I stand by mine.
Anyway, she got her start at 3 years old. So already, like, anything under six, like, those are formative years. Anything that happens to you during this time is going to stick with you, right?
Can you imagine? You're born and you're never not famous.
No, I can't.
In your memory, you're never not someone where people are like, whoa, holy shit, you're that person?
That's got to fuck you up somehow. Yeah, somehow. I mean, and three is like before you even form memories. Like, I mean, I have some memories of when I was three, but like it's really vague.
Mm.
Right? Okay, so she got her start at 3 years old, but she was in these old-timey movies called Baby Burlesques.
What?
Yeah, that sounds crazy. Yeah, they basically would... dress these toddlers up, boys and girls, into like adult roles, like for funsies, like where like they were wearing outfits that adults wear. So you know how you kind of like chimpanzees that wear business suits?
I fucking love it.
So that's kind of what they were doing with these toddlers. So the toddlers would wear diapers, but then they would have like army jackets or like army hats.
Can I add, it doesn't just have to be chimpanzees. I've seen some spider monkeys.
Okay.
Like picking up phones.
You really like when monkeys act like
I
do. People.
I liked baboons, by the way, using calculators. I've seen a lot of that and I really enjoy that as well. That's pretty funny. Yeah.
Okay, so now imagine like people really loved this when it was toddlers. I mean, I imagine that's kind of what the audience of Toddlers and Tiaras is probably like. Like, look at these little girls dressed like older women.
It sounds like the people who dressed them up and not the audience. I think the audience is there for a different reason.
What's the audience there for?
For Toddlers and Tiaras? To watch the shit show. To watch these parents and like be like, holy shit, I can't believe these parents are like this.
Okay, I meant the audience that's in the like actual pageant.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. They're okay. All, those people are preening. They're like...
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And all that.
So Shirley Temple, first, she got cast in these baby burlesques, but she would play sex workers. Like, she would play,
holy shit.
Like in one, her first movie that she had a line in was called War Babies. And she wore this, like, really kind of skimpy outfit where, like, the shirt was kind of falling off her shoulders. And she's only 3 years old, okay? And then the, like, little boys in the show or movie would be like these soldiers that were like having a drink on their night off. And so she's like this dancer that's entertaining them. And like, she kind of like wants to get their attention because she's really expensive. She has a line in there where she tells the boys like she's pretty expensive. And then they pay her in lollipops to like get kisses from her.
Decent bit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a really good bit. Yeah. But no, no, wow. It's terrible. No, because so yeah, she's basically playing, she's representing a sex worker.
That is crazy. I can't believe that's real.
Yeah. And there's like other, like another baby is like a bartender, but Shirley Temple as an adult commenting about these old movies, she was like, wow, they were so explicitly sexist. Some of them were racist. And they just like kind of exploited their childhoodness in a way that like, they didn't understand what was happening, but the adults understood what was happening.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And so it was just really, she looks on it with sadness. But anyway, she continues to grow in stardom, and her outfits back then, I don't know if you've seen her movies, but they were like really short dresses that were designed to show off her figure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've only seen clips of Little Shirley.
Yeah.
But. That makes sense.
And like, they're always like, her co-stars are always like older men. She's always portrayed in this scenario where she doesn't have a mom. And like these older men have to like rescue her, whether they're adopting her or they're like, I don't know. She's like has to cutesy her way up to them so that like they'll.
That was always my understanding. It was a lot of, well, Miss Shirley, I'll tell you what you got to do. And like, and then they do a dance number. Usually.
Yeah. But there's like some pictures of like her riding one of the men like a horse, and she's got like a little lasso around his neck, and
oh wow,
and she's like spanking him. It like looks really
interesting,
sexual. But yeah, it was under this guise of that it's like cute.
I mean, she was cute as a fucking button. You put her in anything and she was still cute, I guess, was their mentality.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, we can get this like cheap shtick off of this.
Yeah. And then on top of that, like child labor laws back then were like non-existent, especially in the industry. Like right now today, the entertainment industry is one of the few industries where children are even allowed to work, you know, for that many hours and stuff. But back then, like they would work these kids for like 16 hours and... You know, kids are kids. They get tired and stuff. But if any of them acted up or cried or like was causing any trouble or like wasting any of the studio's money, they would lock them in these like boxes. And they were like windowless, dark boxes and isolate them from everybody else. And the floor was an ice block. So they had to like, they were in a dark box sitting on an ice block for however long, like hours. And yeah, Shirley Temple ended up getting ear infections and earaches from it. She was put in the box quite a few times. She was
what? Why?
Because the cold. Oh, why was she put in the box?
Yeah.
Oh, because she was a kid, and so like she was
acting up, and then
she was doing kid things, or if she cried, or whatever, like anything the studio didn't like, they just lock her in a box. Yeah.
I can't even believe they could do that.
Right. Exactly. It's crazy. Like to the world, these kids had it made. Like they're superstars, and they're like they capture the world's heart. But like behind the scenes, they're treated like animals, literally like just caged animals.
Wow.
Yeah, And so, so there was a lot of that. She also had to work, like, they didn't give a fuck, like, if you were sick or if you, like, had any issues. Like, she had to work the day after getting a surgery. She had to dance on her foot when it was sprained. Like, she was just their workhorse.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there were things that happened, like, her whole life. I feel so bad for her. So as she was, like, you know, becoming, she was, like, started when she was three, and as she was becoming more of a child, like, there was a huge rumor going on that she actually wasn't a child, that she was a 30-year-old dwarf. And the rumor got so intensified that the Vatican actually sent out a priest to confirm whether or not she was a child.
Wait, how do you do that?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
I don't either.
Yeah, so they would also, like, point out that her teeth, she didn't have baby teeth, but that she filed them down to look like baby teeth, which she says, she's like, that's ridiculous. So what happened was, like, she was losing her teeth like a normal kid, but because they were filming, she had to, like, use dental caps or whatever to make it look like she wasn't losing teeth.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they took that as evidence. And then, like, there were rumors that her hair was fake because it was so, like, perfect all the time. And so sometimes fans would, like, pull her hair randomly to try to see if it was true.
Holy shit.
And then she actually said she wished that it was true sometimes because her hair routine to get her hair to look like that all the time was so long and grueling that it, like, she just wished that it wasn't. So, like, she used to have to do a vinegar wash once a week, and it would get in her eyes and burn her eyes.
What does that do to your hair?
I have no idea. But apparently it made it shiny and ringlety and pretty.
But not smells good, I bet.
I don't know. I guess not. I mean, usually people use vinegar as a cleaning product, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, but she had to do a vinegar wash once a week. Then as she got older, she regularly had to fight off sexual predators. You know, we talked about this before, yes. But in her book, that her autobiography that she wrote, she actually wrote about some of these experiences. So when she was 12 years old, MGM was kind of scouting her, and she already had a contract with Fox, but MGM called her and her mom in for a meeting. And when her and her mom got there, they were separated immediately into two different meeting rooms. And one of the producers named Arthur Freed was with Shirley, and he said that he had something very special made just for her, and then took his penis out of his trousers.
Oh, God.
He exposed himself to her. And
she's like 3 years old?
She's 12.
12?
She didn't know how to react to this because she had never seen that before, so she just kind of nervously giggled, and he got so upset that he threw her out of his office. So they decided not to go that direction.
I can't believe they let her in there alone.
I know. Well, that's what they do. They still do that even today. So I don't know if you've heard any of the, like, alleged things about Dan Schneider for Nickelodeon.
Yes.
Okay. So, like, even that, like, there's a lot of actors have come forward and said that when they were cast on the show, they would get invited to these pool parties where you couldn't bring your parents. Like, you had to be alone. And a lot of the child actors were excited to go to them because it's a pool party, but also when you're a child actor, like, a lot of times you're on shows with just adults. So you don't have anyone your own age to talk to or play with or whatever. So to hear that you're going to be around, like, other kids is, like, really exciting. And they're not in schools, like, so they're not in public schools, so they don't get a chance to, like, be around their peers. So they go there, and it's, like, kind of like a camp, but they're, like, really encouraged to go into the pool part of, like, the pool party. Like, there's hors d'oeuvres and games and stuff, but go in the pool party because that's where the most networking happens. And there's, like, people who say that, like, Megan Fox was there and, like, different, like, celebrities that we all know today, but they would be at these pool parties originally, and that's how they made their initial networking contacts. And this is all alleged. There's no way to prove, like, a lot of this, but, like, so many stories have come forward about it, and including some stories of parents that didn't want to send their kid off alone to this camp, and then apparently their kid was, like, blacklisted from kid shows. Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, it still happens, just a little bit more discreetly today.
Right.
Back then, I think that it was just kind of commonplace. Like, obviously, the internet wasn't around, so the public didn't know about it. But, like, in the actual industry, like, people kind of knew that that shit was happening. And that's kind of, like, how everybody was treated.
Yeah.
I guess. Shirley Temple, though, was, like, she was kick-ass. She dodged a lot of, like, sexual predators. One MGM executive, when she was like 17, he basically claimed, since he was like this big executive, he had a right to have sex whenever he wanted with her. And she was like, no, that's not in my contract. Maybe your contract, but not mine.
Megan Fox said that?
No. This is Shirley Temple. Yeah. And then when she was 17, there was another guy, this really well-known comedian named George Jessel, who invited her into his office to discuss a key role, he said, in his upcoming film. And she says, "We were standing a pace apart, eyeball to eyeball, and in one swift moment, he opened his trousers and with a sudden reach encircled me with one arm. I could feel his other hand groping to lift my shirt hard on, and then she like kicked him in the groin and basically got him off of her. But she like narrowly escaped a lot of these like situations. One guy she was warned about, like, if he ever approaches you and he has stockings on, that like he's about to do something creepy.
My God.
And then that happened.
They know that, and they're just like, hey, just as a heads up.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
And then so one day he pulled her aside and she noticed he was wearing the stockings. So she swiftly tried to like leave his room, and he had a switch under his desk that locked the doors. So he locked her in there with him. And then she basically had to like run around the furniture to avoid him. Like they were like like a cartoon of like a coyote
Holy
and a
God.
Lamb. Yeah.
Not even just like a cartoon, like an old movie. Really.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of that shit in there.
But it's like real. It's like, wow. It's so crazy. Yeah, and that was just like expected too. So yeah, and then on top of that, at the end of the day, she was like one of the biggest child stars of her time. Like everybody knows who she is. Even today, everybody knows who she is. And she made $3.2 million throughout her entire career, which in today's money is like $100 million or something like that. But at the end of the day, in her account, she only had less than $44,000.
Oh my God, yeah, she got fleeced.
Yeah, her dad ashamedly like admitted that he put it in bad investments and he just like lost all her money.
God.
Yeah, and he was supposed to put it into a child trust account, but he didn't do that. And there were no repercussions. She says that like, she forgives him though. Like,
holy shit.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a lot of these kids' stories, is like their parents mismanaged the money. So even if they were like wildly famous, they ended up broke, like Judy Garland. So
yes.
Shirley Temple was actually originally in talks to play Dorothy Gale from Wizard of Oz. But of course, we all know who ended up playing her was Judy Garland. Because Judy Garland, her vocal range was just so much better than Shirley Temple, and that was just obvious. But yeah, Judy Garland, she was the youngest of three siblings. She started performing with her mom and sisters at a really young age because it was very clear that she was super talented. And her mom started really young giving her pills, which she eventually got addicted to and struggled with a lifelong addiction. She would give her amphetamines to wake her up and like keep her energized throughout the day. And then barbiturates.
Yeah.
To help her sleep, because like the amphetamines are such an upper that it's hard to go to sleep, so they give downers at night. And this is basically like what continued throughout her whole life. But everyone in the Wizard of Oz had a pretty bad time with their costumes. Her in particular was about her figure. So like throughout her entire career, executives, producers and stuff had a real problem with her weight. They would always just like call her fat. They like thought she was like huge in their eyes. Like she needed like to get slimmer, get like just be like thin, and she just wasn't like built that way. So they would give her drugs to keep her thin, and they also had a really tight corset on her the entire time.
Oh, there you go. I was like, wait, her compared to Tin Man? I don't think so.
So she had a really tight corset, even though she had to do singing oh, musical shit. Numbers and dance numbers. The corset was like hella tight because they didn't want anyone to know she had boobs either, because she was supposed to be like,
oh, right.
You know, really young. And even though she was a minor, but like she was supposed to be playing like 14 and mm-hmm. she was like 17. So so she wore a corset, and then she was given a diet of chicken soup, black coffee, and cigarettes so she would lose weight and stay thin. And then she had a producer or an assistant like watching her at all times and keeping track of every single thing that went in her mouth. And then they would report it to the MGM executives at the end of the day.
By the way, for those of you who are judging, the doctors back then cleared the cigarettes. So it was all good.
They they prescribed
that's correct. They said it's all good.
Yeah,
so don't question the doctors, please.
On top of that, there were her ex-husband, her husband at the time, was later,
she was married at 17.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
He remarked that she had a terrible time on set too with the munchkins, or the actors that played the munchkins, because they would constantly like reach their hands up her dress and
holy
like
shit.
And these were like 40-year-old men, like grown ass men, but they knew that they could get away with it, so they would just like, they would just
grope
her.
Which ones, man? The lollipop kin?
Probably.
I bet.
Probably.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And she was like super nice to them. She gave them like chocolates and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure it wasn't all the munchkins that groped her, but like even just a handful of them.
Well, I would hate to blame all of the munchkins for only what one munchkin
did. Exactly.
Thank you.
But there was a group of them. So another thing is she was slapped by the director, Wizard of Oz, when she couldn't stop giggling during a scene. Yeah, he got so fed up with her because he didn't want like her wasting time and money, so he just slapped her.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
The studios really did own you.
They really did. Like, you were the equivalent of cattle,
yeah,
as an actor on, wow, any old time movie.
But you got your name on lights, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, so she got super famous at the... Oh, and another thing was the pay discrepancy. So she was the star of Wizard of Oz, for sure, but she was only making $500 a week. And it took like 3 years to get through all of the filming of Wizard of Oz. So she was making $500 a week, and the Tin Man and Scarecrow, on the other hand, were making $3,000 a week.
Well, look, I take a look at that outfit. I tell you what, Tin Man does not look happy, man.
None of them are happy. All of them were... All of the actors got fucked from these costumes.
Dude, the Scarecrow probably had real straw in there, huh?
He didn't have real straw, but he had like the prosthetics that made his face like look like straw and stuff like that. It ended up indenting his face for a year.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And then the Tin Man, so the original Tin Man, you know, like he went to the hospital. He got fired because he got so sick from the aluminum poisoning, because they used aluminum powder for his silver look, his tin look, and he got like poisoned by inhaling so much aluminum, like pure aluminum.
Good lord.
So then the second guy that they got to play the Tin Man, they used an aluminum paste so he wouldn't be inhaling the powder, but they didn't know it goes through your pores. So he also got extremely sick. Not sick enough to lose filming time, but
so they replaced the other guy and then reshot all the shit with him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the lion, his costume, all of them had to be in wardrobe and hair and makeup for 3 hours minimum every single day. But the lion, his costume was actually made out of a lion, what's it called? The skin coat of a lion, like what's it called? The hide.
Pelt.
A lion hide.
Yeah.
It was actually like a full ass lion hide. So it weighed 90 pounds and it was super, super, super hot. So he would just be sweating profusely all day long. And it was like the job of two of the assistants to dry it out every night so that he could get back in it the next day. And then his face prosthetics were so complicated that they wouldn't let him eat on his break. So he had to like eat milkshakes and smoothies and stuff and soup and stuff.
And dance around with that shit, yeah, bro.
But then after, because the filming dragged on so long, he like eventually put his foot down and was like, I'm going to eat food. You're going to redo my makeup.
Fuck you. Food now. Oh, that big plate of food.
That's better than the Shirley Temple impression.
You think so? I thought my Shirley was way sharper, actually.
No.
But I'm working on my line. I can't believe I just debuted it.
Yeah, that was pretty intense. So anyway, after that, like, she struggled with her weight all the time. And like, she got married and got pregnant and like really just wanted to settle down and have a family and kids. And like, she just wanted to do that. But the studios got so mad at her and her mom got mad at her. So her mom like dragged her to an abortion clinic and made her like get an abortion. And she got super depressed. And then they would put her back on drugs because she had to lose the weight from being pregnant. Just a lot of shit. And then on top of that, she got fired because like she'd always be late and she would act out because she was addicted to drugs.
This is the feel-good story of the century right now.
Right? I feel so... Judy Garland, oh my gosh. She's like one of the saddest cases. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. After we come back, we're going to get...
There's more?
Well, yeah.
We have to go through some more?
There's quite a few more. Those were the old-timey cases, and they dealt with obviously sexual predators, but as we get into the more recent cases, it gets even more gross and makes you think twice about becoming a child actor or enrolling your kids into the entertainment industry. You know, since the time I was eight, I wanted to be an actor, and I had a taste of it, but nothing like this. Like, I didn't have a taste of the creepy, perverted stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, I was an extra on The Pest. Like, I got to eat lunch with John Leguizamo, and that's, I was fun. Like, I just want this to be my life. And like, all the other kid actors that I was around, like, had all like booked commercials, and they were already getting like TV shows. And then I ended up getting like a featured role on Power Rangers. So it that's was sick. Like, I just wanted like to be a child actor so bad, because it just seemed like so much fun. You just get to like play all day. And like, I also really liked making my own money. Like, when I was a kid, I was obsessed with making my own money, because I didn't like the control of, like, I didn't like that my parents would just say no to me.
Yeah.
When I wanted to buy something. Yeah. So I was like, I can't wait to make my own money. And it was like the only jobs you could have as a kid. And so I did a lot of modeling and acting jobs. And at first I was like booking a lot. Like, my manager was sending me out, and I would like book almost every single audition I went out on. And so I had like $1,000 as a kid, like in the 90s.
That's incredible.
I bought a Sega Genesis. Anytime I wanted to go to a birthday party, I had to buy my friend's birthday presents with my own money.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I would pull out $20 from my checking and stuff. It was like, wow, I'm an adult, right? And luckily my parents gave me the money too. That was really nice of them.
That's true. They didn't have to. Yeah. They could just ate it all.
They could have just, yeah, because they had to take the day off work to drive me to the set.
Wow.
Like, so they could have just been like, well, I lost this money not working, so this is payment. But yeah, then my manager died when I was in middle school. So that's why I stopped acting. Mm. So who knows what could have happened, because I really wanted it. And you have to jump through a lot of hoops to get it too. You have to get really good grades at your school so that your school signs off on a permit to let you go act, because you can't get a worker's permit if your grades aren't good. Mm. And then you have to be on set. Like, there's a certain number of hours you have to be in school on set, but the in school on set thing is like a joke. Like, they don't teach you anything in those schools. They like basically you're playing hangman for like 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but yeah, when I hear all these stories about like kids that actually made it, I'm like, wow, I thought they had the life of my dreams, and turns out they were just getting abused behind the scenes.
Shit.
Yeah. So when we come back from the break, get ready for some very heartwarming, joyful stories.
Yeah, sure. We'll be right back.
Hashtag sarcasm. Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show, because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So, huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Okay, and we're back. And we're going to talk about some pretty depressing child actor
but
stories.
First, we're very excited to talk about, if you like this show, you can help support this show.
Yeah, by going to our Patreon. Patreon.com/sticky. We actually have bonus episodes every month, Should They Don't Tell You After Dark, as well as a We Just Woke Up episode. And they're both like a different vibe. They're more intimate. They are about stuff that we're going through at the moment that we haven't quite all the way processed yet. And it's pretty cool. And the community over there is awesome.
The bomb.
We love them.
The best there is.
So shout out to Sticky Studios.
Yeah.
We also do live streams. It's a good time. All right. But back to the depressing ass child's actor stories. What do you know about the two Coreys?
Yeah, so Feldman and Corey Haim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he Corey Haim killed himself, obviously.
No, he didn't.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
Oh, he overdosed?
The story is that he had a lifelong addiction to drugs as well, and a lot of that stemmed from childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual official cause of death was listed as pneumonia.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, he was like on a sober path and like,
oh, okay,
you know, clearing up. But I think his body just gave out. Like, I think just the long-term effects.
Well, I guess I just lumped him in with all the other horrible stories mm-hmm. like that. That yeah, because I know he was sexually abused like crazy, and they both were.
Yeah, and Corey Feldman's really outspoken about it right now. Yeah. And a couple of instances are pretty bizarre. Like he came out with a documentary, mm-hmm. but it was set to release last year in March, and it was like right before COVID, right? Yeah. And he had a live stream ticket, so anyone that couldn't make it to the actual premiere, you could buy live stream tickets and watch it online. But the day of the premiere, the live stream went out. Yeah, like,
I remember that.
And then COVID happened, and it was almost like the whole thing got buried. Mm-hmm. So pretty bizarre, the timing on that.
Can you still get the documentary?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
It kind of killed the buildup.
It really did. Yeah. Like, I didn't hear anything after that.
Yeah, me either.
I heard a lot of the buildup and then, like, nothing. But in the documentary, he actually listed 6 of their abusers, and one of them was Charlie Sheen.
Oh, God damn.
Yeah. So apparently, both of them were molested and abused as kids, but Corey Haim's was actually full penetration raped. And allegedly raped. But he describes in detail like what happened. And
Charlie Sheen did that?
Yeah, on the set of Lucas when Corey Haim's was 11 and Charlie Sheen was 19. Allegedly, Charlie Sheen sodomized Corey Haim's.
Corey Haim.
I thought it was Haim's.
No, it's just Haim.
It's just Haim?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Let me look that up really quick. Oh, it is just Haim.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's fine.
I was pluralizing it to make fun of you because you always pluralize. I wasn't. Okay. Well, anyway, yeah. So that's like kind of where it started. And then there was like some in the industry, like there were talks behind their backs like that. Oh, yeah. The 2 Corys, everybody's had them. Like everybody's.
I've heard that part, I think, from his mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. From Corey Feldman. Yeah. 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 And basically they were stars like off the Goonies and Lost Boys. Lost Boys is
fucking
like
Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Corey Feldman was Donatello.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah, they were huge stars when they were teenagers. They were teenage heartthrobs. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they got invited to these like Hollywood parties, right? And so the childhood mm-hmm. actors that got protected were people like Elijah Wood, whose parents wouldn't let them go to these parties because they kind of like knew what was up.
Yeah.
And with...
They had good friends then.
Yeah, with people that... With other kids maybe didn't have... Their parents didn't have their best interest. Mm-hmm. They like... Let them go to these parties and encourage them to network with these executives and stuff. And
so scary.
So like the Corys were drinking and doing drugs at a very young age, like 13, 14, and they were being groomed. So like they would black out and they would wake up in some random room and there'd be like porn playing on the TV. And other times, like Corey Feldman said that Corey Haim, like one time mentioned in passing like how, you know, like boys and men have sex all the time, and Corey Feldman was like, no they don't, like, and Corey was like, yeah they do, what are you talking about, like it happens all the time, like,
oh my God,
it's just like a normal thing, because that's what he was told, like he was conditioned to believe that like that's what happens, like that's a normal thing.
Oh.
So he was so conditioned, and Corey Feldman had to like actually break it down to him like that's not okay. And then Corey Feldman, the first person he listed years ago was
his... He was like 14 for that or something?
Yeah.
This is why when people say, dude, I mean, not many people say it, but there's all kinds of countries out there, countries that to a lot of people, they'd be like, no way, that they have very young age of consent laws.
So weird.
And that is fucking fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, 11 is really young,
dude,
too.
Even 14.
Yeah.
Fucking, are you crazy?
Oh, it's so sad.
Because you can be convinced to believe shit like that, and then the people in power can groom you legally, no problem.
Exactly.
Like, good God.
Yeah, and Corey Feldman was molested by his manager, who was his assistant. That guy actually did some time from him outing him. But yeah, so... So because of that, Corey Haim got into drugs and got addicted because he was just kind of like trying to cope with the pain. Like he had just he was just trying to dissociate so that he didn't have to think about it all the time. Mm-hmm. So he could just be like a normal guy or feel like he was normal.
Right.
So that's also really sad. And then, eventually he passed away, and Corey Feldman pledged to like tell his story. And so that's why he wrote a book, and he did a documentary years ago, but I guess he was under a lot of legal pressure not to like reveal certain things or do it a certain way. And so with this one, his most recent one that came out last year, it was like a Kickstarter campaign, like it was crowdfunded. So he was able to like do it the way he wanted to do it and tell the story that he wanted to tell. The next person on the list is Drew Barrymore, because I wanted to talk about how like sometimes you can bounce back, you know?
Yeah, this has not entered her brand at all. Like if you mention her name, you don't think about that.
No.
At all.
No, you don't. Yeah, you don't think about that. I don't have any sexual natured stories about her, but the partying and drugs.
Yeah, that's what you think about.
That one is, yeah. So she was born into a family of performers. So her parents were stage performers. So she was like born in the entertainment industry. Her dad was a violent alcoholic, and her mom didn't really seem to have a lot of maternal instincts. So her mom would take her to these parties when she was like 9 years old. And from age 9 to 13, she was going out with her mom like 5 days a week to clubs and parties and doing drugs and alcohol. And her mom would tell her to dance with like different executives and stuff. And like, just basically like that was networking. Right. And then she became like violent and suicidal when she was 13. So her mom, put her into a mental institution, and she was getting rehabilitated, and they actually encouraged her to emancipate from her parents. So she was 14 years old when she emancipated herself, but when she was trying to get her career back on track, the industry wouldn't take her seriously anymore because of her reputation of being this self-proclaimed party girl.
Right.
And so she would go to auditions and like be laughed out of auditions because they couldn't believe she actually showed up. Because she was such a joke. Yeah. And so she ended up getting jobs as like a waitress and like scrubbing toilets. Like she was actually like just doing laborious jobs at 14 because she didn't know how else to pay for an apartment. Mm-hmm. She was living in an apartment by herself. Like she's like, I had no idea how to run an apartment. There were cockroaches. There was like dangerous people in the alley behind her apartment. She was scared out of her mind. And then eventually she worked her way back up into the industry, and now she has a great career. Like she became very successful, became a director, started her own production company. You know, now I remember her from just like The Wedding Singer and like 51st Dates and
Charlie's
like
Angels.
Yeah. And like all kinds of her adult career. I remember her for her adult career.
Yeah, me too.
And I wasn't really alive when she was known as like a partier.
I remember her from E.T.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But
and that to me is like huge. And then I don't remember her after
but
that.
We were kids
until she was an adult.
That movie came out before our time. We watched it as kids later. But yeah, we didn't grow up knowing like, oh, Drew Barrymore, she's
Hell no.
a party girl.
I wasn't like, that's Drew Barrymore either.
No,
like,
I mean, Wedding Singer came out in sixth grade for me, and so like that was I was 11. That was like my first like introduction to her as an adult. And I remember my mom being like, that's the little girl from E.T. And I'm like, whoa, that's crazy.
Right.
But yeah, so she ended up having a good career. Macaulay Culkin also escaped a lot of things that could have led to his demise. So Macaulay Culkin is a very peculiar case. And his family acts, you know, his dad was a Broadway actor, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, but like, ended his career kind of short, and Macaulay Culkin was like the one that rose to the most fame. I mean, at one point he was like the most famous kid in Hollywood.
Ever lived, exactly.
He was like Shirley Temple level of fame. I mean, even every kid now even knows who he is, and this is like 30 years later.
You have to. Nobody didn't see Home Alone.
Nobody has not seen Home Alone. So, you know, with Macaulay Culkin, he had some brush-ups with maybe sexual predators, right? But he says that he learned to recognize them from a young age. People have asked him about Michael Jackson because Michael Jackson obviously was accused of some certain pedophilia-type situations. Yes. And Macaulay Culkin was very well known to have been hanging around with Michael Jackson a lot. And so in court, Macaulay Culkin actually testified and said that he was never touched inappropriately by Michael Jackson. But he also confirmed that he did share a bed with Michael Jackson more than 10 times. And he added that the singer had an alarm in his bedroom on his bedroom door that would alert him if anyone were approaching or was nearby.
Okay, that's very normal.
Like there was a walkway kind of thing where if somebody was approaching the door, it would kind of like ding dong, ding dong. That's what he testified in court. And when anyone would approach the room, like you'd hear this soft sort of alarm, like a ding dong alarm kind of thing.
10 times?
Yeah, and then he also confirmed that he had traveled with Michael Jackson on vacation to Bermuda, spent a handful of evenings alone on Neverland Ranch, and he had even been given a Rolex watch as a gift from Michael Jackson. So, but he says that he's never been touched inappropriately. And Corey Feldman also had a close relationship with Michael Jackson. And he says that, like, even though they had a falling out, he was never touched inappropriately by Michael Jackson.
Okay.
So, and he's very outspoken about pedophilia in Hollywood. So, you know, I don't know. That might clear up something.
Did you see what their falling out
was? No. He says he doesn't want to talk about it, but that they had a falling out. Yeah. And then, regarding money with Macaulay Culkin, everyone kind of knows about that. It was very public when he actually emancipated from his parents at 14 because he didn't have a good relationship with his father. His father was kind of abusive and like would like consistently humiliate his kids and like.
Kind of like what Michael Jackson's dad did.
Yes, exactly.
Joe Jackson.
And at one point the dad was gone for like 3 weeks and the babysitter commented that the kids hadn't even asked where their dad was because the kids all just didn't like him.
Wow.
So when he was 15, he took his parents to court in hopes of gaining total control over his $17 million earnings. The battle was arduous, bitter, and public, and ultimately ended with the child actor's total emancipation. He did receive control of his money though. I had thought that his parents kept all the money. But he actually got control of his money.
So Britney's lawyer needs to step down for that guy's lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here's where this is one of the creepiest stories though, because you know Heather O'Rourke?
Heather O'Rourke. It rings a bell.
So she was the little girl in Poltergeist.
Okay. That's right. You've told me about Heather O'Rourke many times.
Yeah. It's very disturbing and all of it is not confirmed, alleged stuff here, so I'm not, you know, just so you know, like it's all alleged, but Macaulay Culkin actually went on a French radio show and exposed a lot of this pedophilia stuff going on in Hollywood, but it's all been deleted, but there are records of it. But he was on this French radio show and he basically there was a articles that came out after he was on the show titled Macaulay Culkin Live on French Radio Exposed Disturbing News. Satanic Hollywood Elites, quote unquote, use children during rituals. I was lucky enough to escape the big screen. And then there was another one titled that former child star Macaulay Culkin has blown the whistle on the entertainment industry elite to reveal that Hollywood studio executives are bloodthirsty Satanists who ritualistically murder child actors. He said that he basically says he got out alive because he was a smart and suspicious kid who got too famous to be killed like some of the other kids.
Did you see him saying this?
I did not see him saying this. These were articles written after the fact, after it was deleted.
Wow.
So because it started going viral and then all of a sudden it was deleted. So supposedly this is what he said in the interview. So I'm just
completely
just to clarify.
We have no
just
fucking
to clarify
idea.
100%. This is like, I just like going into creepy, creepy land just because it's like, you know, if this is true with the Shirley Temple, Judy Garland shit, this is all confirmed stuff, okay? Then is this that far off the track, you know?
Right.
So, you know, it's interesting hearing these stories, but
I've never heard anything like that crazy. Like, that's wild.
That there's, like, Satanist pedophile rings?
Well, no, that I've heard about, but I'm talking about, like, sacrificing kids. Like that, sacrificing children.
Oh, right.
Like,
okay.
And famous children or anything like that. That's fucking wild.
Yeah. So, I don't, it's weird that it would be any sort of child star because you'd think that people would dig up on, there's always like a where are they now type of thing. Like, I feel like, I don't know, maybe they moved on to like,
well, maybe, I mean, dude, and maybe, you know, this is a theory for me.
Yeah.
But I don't think a grown man has an alarm on his bed to alert if somebody's coming down the hallway. And he spends the night with kids and all this kind of shit.
Yeah.
If he's not like trying to get his jollies in some way and be a shitty person. But if Macaulay Culkin was like the most famous kid in the world then, why would you like do that to somebody with power? Right.
Right.
I think he probably did that from what I've heard from the accusers to people who didn't have any real power.
Yeah. So that's what he says. Or supposedly says. So that's why he said that he got away from them because he was too famous to be killed.
Right. Well, I'm talking about Michael Jackson, though.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also there's like, you know, some pedophiles like a certain type and not another type, you know, it doesn't necessarily make them not pedophiles. Not saying that Michael Jackson's a pedophile, because I don't know, that's all alleged stuff, but I'm just bringing up like what was said in court. That's what was said by Macaulay Culkin in court. So anyway, but at one point when Macaulay Culkin was 11, and this is in this French radio show that who knows, you know, like this is what they say he said on there. During the interview, he claimed that children in the entertainment industry learn very early to recognize which one of them want to abuse you and which one of them have even darker tastes. He explained that some Hollywood executives wear skin trophies, explaining that he was 11 the first time he saw human leather. Culkin said he was filming Home Alone 2 in New York when he was ushered into a back room on the set. There was a guy in there, a powerful executive suit type, you know what I mean? He tried to make me relax by giving me a can of Coke, started telling me about the nature of the industry. Basically, he wanted to cut my parents out. He wanted to be my guardian. He said he would make me into the biggest teen star in history. He said I had it all, but that I had to get rid of my parents. I was like, dude, I'm 11. He said, you're a man now. Culkin, who has been living in Paris, France since 2003, then explained that the man began to make his intentions clear. He started breathing really shallow. My experience with perverts kicked in. I could tell he was interested in me. He licked his lips and told me I was very handsome. I think I managed to say thank you and started thinking about how I could get the fuck out of there. Dude, I'm 11. Then he reached into his case and took out a crack pipe. He put it in his lap, took out this huge lighter, and continued to gaze at me with this overpowering sexual desire. I was just staring at him. I think I said something like, dude, I'm 11 again. I remember he said to me, it's a celebration, little man, to celebrate your upcoming success, your many successes. Come, sit back down. I ran out of the room, but I ran straight into this other guy who was outside the room, and he grabbed me by the arm and threw me back inside. He lit the pipe and blew the smoke in my face. He told me to look at his shoes. He said they were made from the skin of children he and his friends had murdered. He said leather made from human skin is the finest leather known to man. Death of a child star. Macaulay Culkin said that the Hollywood executive then dropped a heavy hint about the provenance of the skin used to make his shoes. He asked me if I knew Heather O'Rourke. Yeah, I remember her. I grew up watching Poltergeist. I remember her in Happy Days. She was so cute. Then it dawned on me what he was getting at, and I vomited all over his shoes. Heather O'Rourke was an American child actress discovered by Steven Spielberg when she was visiting MGM Studios and later cast as Carol Ann Freeling in the horror film Poltergeist. She had the movie's most recognizable line, "They're here." After years in Hollywood system, Heather O'Rourke died suddenly and unexpectedly at the age of 12. The official cause of death was listed as, quote, heart attack and septic shock caused by, quote, misdiagnosed intestinal stenosis. In 1988, though, many people were left wondering if there was a more tragic story. And then Macaulay Culkin says, let's just say I went off the rails after my experience filming Home Alone 2. I'm 37 now and I'm still processing everything. The things I have seen, Macaulay Culkin said before trailing off and abruptly changing the topic. This interview was in 2018.
Jesus.
Yeah. There's also these pictures of guys wearing red shoes, which this is when you start to go into like conspiracy land, because you see all these like high profile executives and they're wearing red leather shoes, which is like symbolic of a secret society. Like that's like a secret society thing, but we don't know like the origins of the leather shoes. Like, do they represent, you know, children with the blood from their murders or whatever, or rituals or whatever. But then there's these art pieces where all these girls are wearing red shoes as if it's symbolic to like what's going to happen to them. And then they're like all tied up. And
could
they're like
little
kids.
It was a Ross party, though.
Well, you may know what happened to her.
Damn. All right. Good point.
So, yeah. So, Heather O'Rourke, there was an interesting... There's this site that has, like, supposedly a top entertainment lawyer that kind of, like, tells behind-the-scenes things. And he's, like, said a couple of things pretty accurately, like the predicting Zoe 101, getting pregnant, and all this stuff. Okay. So, Heather O'Rourke died when she was 12, and the whole story is that she had some intestinal blockage, right? Like something that they didn't they missed, that they didn't know was there. And she died really suddenly after a bowel obstruction. But there, as the story goes with this entertainment lawyer, he says, and this is like, we can't confirm the entertainment lawyer. So this is all still alleged.
We can't confirm any of this shit. You can't confirm
any of it. But this is just like,
we're just in story land.
Yeah, we're in story land. And these are the, what if? These are rumors circulating the internet.
What if?
Okay. And so this, as he says, that he says back in the mid 80s, it was peak child molesting time in Hollywood. There was no internet. There were very, very few mobile phones. Children came to the set where they were left alone by their parents. That still happens. Mm-hmm. For the next 8 hours, they were subject to every kind of horrible thing you can imagine. Drugs were commonplace. They were used to try and get the kids to not be hysterical when being assaulted. Producers loved casting shows with kids and tweens. If someone pitched a show that involved a handful of tweens with a dozen tween extras per week, it would get a green light. Even if the show was going to suck, and everyone knew it was going to suck, if you got the right pedo at a studio, he would just say yes to come for the casting and taping of the pilot. As sad as it is to say, there were a lot of parents who told their kids to go off with the nice man in the suit and do it. He says, it was sick, sick, sick time. It was just past the mid-80s when a producer came up with the idea of a tween show that not only would feature a rotating cast of extras, but would make the studio a bunch of money because they would film quickly and not hire any adults. Further, the faster they filmed, the more time they would have to molest all the kids that would be hanging around. From the first day, it was the worst place on earth if you were a kid. The studio where the show was filmed also had several other shows being filmed there, most of which featured lots of children. Executives would drive over to Hollywood right before lunch and would stay at the studio for several hours each day. Anyway, on this particular show, there was a special guest star, a very special guest star. Still not a tween. Everybody knew who she was. Executives flocked to the studio that day to see her. She was first molested when she was 5 or 6 and had continued to be molested throughout her hit movies and also on a previous show. One of the stars of the show who has spent her life bouncing in and out of rehab because of what she saw and who was actually nominated for awards from the show described the atmosphere that day. And she says, and this is supposedly from an actress that was there on the set, that was on the show. She says, a bunch of fucking pigs. I had just turned 12 or 13. I was the same age as the actress coming in, maybe a little older. We'd been shooting for months and I was old news. They knew I would do whatever they wanted, but they always wanted something new, someone new. This was someone new and someone they all knew. They had it set up like a peep show almost. She had finished shooting that morning and they brought her out on a stage. The stage was used most of the time for a game show that was taped there. That game show is still on today. I can't watch it knowing what happened to her there. They brought her out and the front four rows of this theater were filled with guys who were already rubbing themselves. The girl was wearing a bikini. The show took place around a beach so they could make these girls wear next to nothing. They had her walk around under the lights. The lights were focused on her and she couldn't really see out into the audience. She was squinting. It must have been blinding for her. They had her walk back and forth and then they had her start dancing. All these guys were doing what another star at that same studio got busted for. This went on for about 20 minutes. Then three of the guys took her to a different area of the studio. The actress didn't see what happened, but after 45 minutes, one of those three guys came running out and said he needed a set medic. Apparently they had inserted something inside the girl and things were bad. The medic came out and the ambulance came. The parents of the girl were told some crap story. The crap story ended up killing the girl because the parents believed the executives. 2 weeks later, the show finished shooting 6 episodes all at once, and then everybody was sent on their way forever. No one wanted the kids around or any of the witnesses to what happened. So people put it together because those were the details that were given, that the actress was most likely Heather, the guest star that had to go to see the set medic. Because Heather was acting in the 80s and she was not yet a tween, had hit films, television appearances, so that matches. The lawyer claims that the girl was first molested at 5 or 6. Heather was discovered by Steven Spielberg and had her first acting role at the age of 5 in a show called Fantasy Island. So that matches. And the exact television show that these events occurred on, the television show was Rocky Road. But they can't be verified 100%, but the clues seem to indicate that it's Rocky Road, and it was filmed in the same studio as Jeopardy, which is still running today.
Great show.
And Pee-wee Herman, who was alluded to for being busted masturbating in a theater, that matches or at least makes sense. And a medic needed to be called because something had been inserted into the girl, which ended up eventually killing her. This could match because Heather died of bowel problems.
I see.
So it all
that is crazy.
Isn't that nuts and so fucking sad? I think that one, I just like that one stuck to me for so long. Yeah. And who knows if it's actually true?
We sure hope not.
We really do hope not. But it's just, it's weird that it suddenly happened, mm-hmm. You know, and then you hear all these other stories of things that happened to these kids. And I'm like, wow. So,
boy,
yeah, dark lives of childhood stars. What's his name? Corey Feldman says, if anyone's ever thinking about letting your kid be a child star, just don't, and like let them be a kid. Just let them be a kid.
For sure.
Yeah.
Holy God.
I mean, and this all started, I started going down this rabbit hole because all these Amanda Bynes videos started popping up in my YouTube feed. And with Amanda Bynes, it's kind of like a similar situation to Britney. But it made me wonder, like, how come it's like all these child stars?
Yeah, dude, it's pretty...
And with Amanda, with Britney, with like Michelle Trachtenberg, with the Olsen twins, like those were Lindsay Lohan. Those were all like people that I was kind of like jealous of as a kid, yeah. Where I was like, man, I wish I had their life. Like they're the same age as me. And they like, especially Amanda Bynes got getting to be on All That, which was like my dream. It's like the SNL for kids. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, she's so lucky. And then she got her own show. But then like all the shit that happens and you hear all these stories and, you know, they're all alleged, but like with Dan Schneider and stuff and foot fetish stuff, but it's just kind of creepy. And then like all the parents that kind of, the parents that let their kids do these things, there's like hidden motives.
Yeah. And there's financial incentives. And
financial incentives, exactly.
Heavy ones.
Yeah. Wow. So it's like kind of bananas. And I feel so bad. My heart goes out to these child actors. And of course, it's not all child actors. I mean, I mentioned Elijah Wood earlier. There is a path that you could take and be an actor and not fall into these circles of entrapment.
Yeah, even Macaulay, I mean, he got his money, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just that the chance, like taking that chance, you know, not knowing, like your kid's on set for 8 hours and like not knowing exactly what happens.
Yeah, that's not.
And like
no good.
Kids, you know, even not childhood stars, like even just kids who get molested, like or abused or whatever. A lot of them don't tell their parents because the abuser tells them like. All these bad things are going to happen
yeah,
if
we'll
you
kill
say
them,
anything.
We'll kill your parents, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it makes sense why none of the kids would talk. But, yeah, it's really sad. And that's some shit that I feel like doesn't get talked about enough.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we're just now kind of hearing about all of it. But I'd say it's within the past decade that people started talking about all the horrible things that happened with Judy Garland. I know when I was a kid, I had always heard that Judy Garland got fired from her jobs because she was always late and she was doing drugs. So it was
that's
like
the kind of shit they do. Look what they did to Britney.
Exactly.
It's the exact same
so
shit.
It was always blamed on the
media is a weapon.
Yeah.
And you have to realize that everything, I mean, dude, even NFL news, right? So like, okay, you might not care about this. I'm just talking about how the way that it works, right?
Yeah.
So like the Colts, we just picked up Carson Wentz. He's a quarterback. And the Eagles, they dealt Carson Wentz to the Colts, right? And the Colts are going, hey, cool, we got him cheap. I think we, you know, everyone's going, oh, the Colts won this trade because the Eagles are gonna ship off Carson Wentz, and then they still have to pay for a huge chunk of his contract. But guess what leaked the next day in the news? Carson Wentz. You know, had all kinds of problems, like in Philly, and like he was not listening to coaches, and like why did that leak out? Because Philadelphia is trying to say we won the trade, we're actually really smart,
yeah,
and that's why. And then these news guys, these reporter guys, they're just waiting there for articles and for things to say about it, so they get an official source. Hey, it's the Eagles. Hey, guys, did you know Carson fucking sucks ass actually, and like he doesn't care about getting coached, and like he was super intimidated by Jalen Hurts and all that shit. And then, you know, everything in media, sports media.
Yeah, like it's like you're not a person.
It's maneuvering, right?
You're a product. You're exactly. A commodity. You're an item being talked about and like manipulated and
yeah, we're trying to tilt you a different way so people see you this way.
It's branding.
Branding.
Yeah.
It's all branding.
Image, branding. Yeah, it fucking sucks. And for the long, I mean, the public for the majority like eats it up. Like if enough of the media is saying one thing about a person, everyone just starts believing
it. They don't stare between the lines. They go, well, yeah. Britney must have lost her shit because she shaved her head. She's fucking insane now. Yeah. Did you hear that?
It's
she
not
shaved her head.
Years later that people are like, oh, I knew it was some other thing. And yeah. I knew, and like, no, then
where were you?
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? Like, how did that headline become so pervasive, and how come everyone said the same thing?
Yeah.
That's why I'm always hesitant. When everyone's saying one thing, I'm always hesitant to just agree with that one thing because
Yeah.
If you just see it done one time, then you can start to see the pattern, how it's done to all kinds of
shit. Yeah, once it's a pattern, it's like, how is it happening like this so frequently and in the same way? Mm-hmm. Like, it's always like drug overdose.
They did themselves all this shit.
Yeah.
And you don't look into what caused them to get into the drugs.
Yeah.
Or any of that kind of shit. It's just wild.
Really bizarre.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Yeah. If you like the show, give it a thumbs up. Go on iTunes, rate us 5 stars. Share with your friends. It really helps us out a lot. That's probably like the thing that helps the most is if you really share it with your friends and tell them how great we
are. Thanks for coming to Story Time. Completely made up Story Time.
Completely made up Story Time. All alleged. Nothing's real. It's all conspiracy. We don't know. We know nothing. I'm just reading things from the internet. It's all rumors.
All we know is that we love you. That's not a rumor.
That's something we know.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.